But we love this city. We love Albuquerque, and we love Citizen Church. We love you guys. And so we're believing that God's going to do something special. Last week, he talked about the day of Pentecost being the day of expectation and the power of waiting for God to move, waiting on the Lord, being still in his presence. It was a phenomenal message. Today, I'm going to talk about the day of Pentecost being the day of power. Come on, somebody. Who needs some power in their lives? The day of power. This is when the 120 people were gathered in the upper room, and Jesus told them to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fell on these ordinary, average people, and the day the church of Jesus was born is the day of power, the day of Pentecost. And so we're going to look at what happened on that day. It was an incredible day because what happened on that day actually changed every day after. It must have been a pretty significant day because it has changed every day after. Have you ever had such a significant day that it changed all of the rest of your days? I mean, I know, like, on a spiritual level, absolutely. When I gave my life to Christ, it changed all the days after. But on a practical level, I don't think any day changed my life like October 5th, 2003, when Avery Reagan Woodward, my oldest child, was born. I mean, that's a significant day. If you've ever, you know what I'm talking about, your firstborn child, you go from rested to exhausted. You go from doing whatever you want to everything you do, you're having to think of another human. I mean, that's a significant day. October 5th, 2003, that changed my life. It turned me into a mom, but it really didn't affect you guys that much, did it? But this day, the day of Pentecost, was so significant that we are experiencing the significance of that day today. Today, things happen because what happened on that day. What a significant day when the power of the Holy Spirit filled the upper room and the church of Jesus was born. What a powerful day, a significant day. We're still living in the impact of that day. That's an amazing day, and we want to look at that. I want to read a little bit of what happened on that day, but before I do, I want to remind you that this is not a story of what God did, but it's a preview of what he still does. He still moves in power. He's still empowering his church. He's still pouring out his Spirit. He's still saving. And I think sometimes we forget that God is moving even here in this church. We get used to it. We get used to atmospheres like we were just experiencing a few minutes ago in worship. We get used to the salvation. But I want to remind you, just because we're used to the miracle does not mean there's not a miracle happening. And we are living in amazing days of the outpouring of God's Spirit. Lives are being changed. Just last Sunday, Memorial Weekend. Who would imagine that God could even move on Memorial Day weekend? And people showed up to church. But at the end of Dustin's message, he said, if there's anyone here who wants to accept Christ, would you lift your hand? 97 people across our three campuses gave their lives. Oh, come on, can we give God praise? 97 people from death to life. It's powerful. Tuesday night, we had an amazing night in our youth ministry. If you have a student that's not coming on a Tuesday night, they need to get here. Because God is moving in the next generation in this church in an unbelievable ways. Tuesday night, Pastor Chris Cunningham spoke an unbelievable word. And at the end of the message, he asked the same question. Does anyone want to receive Christ? 56 students lifted their hand for salvation. Telling you, and what happened on the day of Pentecost, that's not a story of what God did, but it's a preview of what he is still doing. God is at work. He's still moving. And I want to read to you Acts chapter 2, what happened on that day. Let's look at it. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came and they were all together in one place, Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the power of God fell in that room. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't come just to inspire us. The Holy Spirit didn't come just so we could have an emotional moment. But the Holy Spirit came to empower us, the church, to transform the world around us. And we are committed as Citizen Church to being an effective church. We know that we can get good at doing church, right? Because we do have a spirit of excellence, and we hope to. We strive to have a spirit of excellence. But you know, strategy only takes you so far. Planning only takes you so far. That's why one of our core values is this. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's one of our 10 core values. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we know sermons without the Holy Spirit, they're empty. Right? Worship, it's just songs without the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do anything without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we want to be an effective church. We want lives to change. We don't want you to walk in here and leave the same way you came in here. No, we want healing to take place, for victory to be in the house, for joy to be restored, for marriages to come back together, for families to be reunited. That's what we want. We want an effective church, a Holy Spirit empowered church. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's who we are. We don't want to do anything without his power. So we're going to look for just a moment at a couple of points on an effective church, what an effective church must remember. First of all, an effective church must remember the promise of power. Who promised the power in the first place? Jesus Christ himself said, I'm going to give you my spirit. My spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of Jesus. I'm going to give you my Spirit. Jesus is the promiser. He is the giver of the Holy Spirit. Now, he gave us a mission. He gave us a task, an assignment to go and make disciples. But he did not just give us an assignment. He gave us the power to do it. The power to do it. So Matthew 28, I'm going to read the assignment just to remind us all. This is the purpose and the mission of every believer. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's the assignment. To go make disciples. Don't just come and sit. Don't just come and enjoy church, although it's awesome and it's enjoyable. Don't just do that. No, you have an assignment. Go make disciples. Share the gospel, baptizing them, teaching them. This is our assignment. There's no way we can do it without the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, do not do anything without the Holy Spirit. I want you to go and wait for power. Let's read when he tells them this. Acts 1, 4 through 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The disciples had no idea that amazing promise he was giving them. In a few days, you're going to receive some power that's going to equip you and help you do what I've asked you to do. Must have been pretty significant, right? He says, don't do anything without it. Don't try to share the gospel without my power. Don't try to go and build the church without my power. Don't speak without it. Don't teach without it. Don't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's something that God is asking of us today. Don't try to do church in your own power. Don't serve in your own power. You need to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't have that important conversation without first saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Don't do anything. Pause. Wait. Don't do anything without the power that you need. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that they go and they wait with expectation. They're united in prayer. They're waiting. They're praying. And then a really awesome word that I love, suddenly. Then suddenly, the power of God fell on that place. It was like a wind, a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly, they were filled with his power. Now, we serve a God of suddenly moments. Aren't you grateful for a God of suddenly moments? I'm thankful. Now, it's not always immediate answer to prayer, but a lot of times when God moves, although it's not immediate, the timeline might kind of drag on. When he moves, it is suddenly. It's powerful. There's so many examples of this in scripture. There's Abraham. God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have a son, and from you will come all the nations of Israel, and you're going to have, we won't even be able to count them like the sand on the seashore. And then years and years go by. But then when God decided to move, suddenly his elderly wife was pregnant. Suddenly, that's how God moves. Think about Joseph, how he had this promise. You're going to be in a position of authority and you're going to rule. But nothing in his life after that promise looked like that. It seemed like the timeline was like dragging on. His answer wasn't immediate. But then suddenly, when it was the right time, the right place, Joseph is moved from the prison to the palace overnight. Suddenly, that's the God that we serve. If you need a suddenly moment today, God is here, and today could be your day for a suddenly moment. I want faith to rise in the room. That's who we serve. That's the God that we serve. And even more like practical story would be our North Campus. For years, Dustin has talked to me about, I really want to have a location on the north side of Albuquerque. I really would love to see a life-giving, thriving church on the north side of Albuquerque. And it seemed like it took forever. Even the construction, if you were around during that part, it felt like everything was just dragging and we couldn't get anything done. Like, Lord, when is your timing? But I'm telling you, on May 19th, 2024, a year ago, when we launched North Campus, suddenly there was a life-giving, powerful church on the north side of Albuquerque. Come on, North Campus, give yourself a hand. It is an amazing community. Suddenly, the power of God fell on these guys, these ordinary, average individuals. Heaven broke in. There was a sound like wind and a move they didn't expect, a fire they couldn't create on their own. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit didn't arrive as a concept, but as a presence with power. This wasn't a concept to be debated in theology books. Because the topic of the Holy Spirit has been one that people have debated for years. The Holy Spirit did not come as a concept, but as a person and a powerful presence to be experienced, a life-giving presence to transform your life. See, a concept informs, but a presence transforms. A concept informs, and information, it's great, but it's nothing compared to having an experience and having transformation in your life. It doesn't even come close. Now, should we know the Word of God? Yes. Should we know what it says? Absolutely. But there is such a powerful thing that can happen when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you read the Word of God full of His Spirit and you say, Lord, I don't want to just know what you're saying. I want to know what you're saying. And I want it to transform my life. The Holy Spirit, not a concept, but a presence to engage with. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And this is a promise not given just to the disciples, not just to the early church. No, this is a promise for everyone, for all of us. The promise is for you. The promise is for your children. There's a prophecy in the book of Joel in the Old Testament about the coming Holy Spirit, about the last days and about this day, the day of Pentecost. I want to read it to you, Joel 2:28. It said, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on who? On all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I love that this verse, it doesn't leave anyone out. All generations, all different types of people, the servants to the rich, the young and the old, men, women, grandmas and grandpas, children can experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is for all of us. It's for all of us. There's a friend of ours in their churches in Nashville, and they have in their kids' ministry on the wall a saying that I love, and it says, there is no junior Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for that? That your children can experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They can experience it too. That's why on a Wednesday night when we have a prayer and worship night, we are committed to doing the same thing in kids' ministry. We're not going to babysit them while we're in the presence of God, but we're going to help create an atmosphere where they can experience Him too. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's for your children and it's for your grandparents. It's for everyone in this room. You can experience the power and the presence of God. The promise is for all. Now, I was 8 years old when I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I was at a kids' camp, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you may think, Mandy, come on, that's really young. I know that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I know this, it did not make me less of a child. I still made mistakes. I still did stupid things. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't fix stupid, is what I've heard before, right? But what it did for me, at a young age, I experienced the presence of God in a powerful way. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, it changed my life. Every single time, if I would mess up or do something I shouldn't, the Holy Spirit would convict me. I would feel nauseous about it. I wanted to please God. It carried me. It kept me. And if you are nervous about raising children in this culture, I understand. I am too. But can I encourage you? Talk to your kids about the Holy Spirit. Talk to them. Tell them it's for you. And this is what's cool about kids. They're not afraid. Children are not afraid of the supernatural. Children are not afraid. I was not afraid of the Holy Spirit. I desired the presence of God. I desired more of Him. And your children, it will hold them and keep them throughout middle school, which honestly, middle school's the worst. Middle school is so difficult, but if you can encourage your kids, you need to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. By the time they get to middle school, no big deal. By the time they get to high school and they're faced with temptation, day after day, no big deal. I'm full of the presence and the power of God, and I don't have to give in to temptation because I've got what it takes. The promise is for everyone. It's for all. It's it's for your kids, it's for your entire family, and most importantly, it's for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. It's a promise to you, and you can take that promise, claim it. It is for you. An effective church must also remember not just the promise of the Holy Spirit, but it also needs to remember the purpose of power. Not just the promise of power, but the purpose of power. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need it? Well, because on our own, we can't do anything. Left to our own decision-making, we're ridiculous. Left to our own wisdom, we're gonna mess up. Left to my own path, man, I'm gonna get it wrong a lot. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It is to empower us to do what God has asked us to do. That is the purpose. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The word power there in the Greek is dunamis, which means the power to do. This is not a power to feel good. This is not a power for status. It's a power for service. The power to do, the power to do what God has asked us to do. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis in the New Testament refers to a power that has been placed within a person. It's not mine by nature. It is a loaned power. It is his power gifted to me. 2 Peter 1:3, let's look together. It's the same word, power, the dunamis word. His divine power has given us everything we need for what? For life and godliness. I think that covers everything. Everything you need for life and everything you need to live godly. Everything you need, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do it. I'm gonna go through just a few things of what the Holy Spirit gives us power to do. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us power to speak boldly. To speak boldly. Don't you love the contrast of Peter, the apostle? I mean, days before without the Holy Spirit versus with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, he was always messing up, always saying the wrong thing. Without the Holy Spirit, he denies Jesus when a little girl is asking him, "Do you know Jesus?" He can't even be bold to a little girl. He actually cusses her out. That's how ridiculous Peter was before the Holy Spirit. Peter could not do it right, could do anything right. He was messing up all the time, but when he was full of the Holy Spirit, he stood up and spoke with boldness. Now, bold does not equal obnoxious. And bold does not equal arrogant. But there's a God confidence that can be within you, where you can have favor with people you're talking to, and your words have some power and some backing and some anointing, and you can speak the truth in love. That's what the Holy Spirit can empower you to do, to speak boldly, to speak boldly. He can empower you also to love deeply. See, the Holy Spirit breaks racial, generational, and social barriers. The people who are the most difficult for you to love, the Holy Spirit can help you to love them. Maybe you have a really bad relationship with a family member, or you just have never gotten along with your dad or your mom, and you have such a hard time loving them. Maybe it's your boss at work, and they are the worst, and you just cannot get along. In your own power, you'll never, ever be able to love like Jesus. You can't do it. You're a human. You're gonna get annoyed, frustrated, agitated. But there can be a supernatural love that comes from the Holy Spirit. Before you go to work, you say, "Holy Spirit, will you help me to love today? Help me to love like you do. Help me to see people like you see them. Help me to love. I can't love on my own. I get so annoyed with people. I get so frustrated. I'm so full of anger. Maybe you have an issue with anger and you hate that about yourself. You're always just explosive with your temper. And then you feel so horrible after. The Holy Spirit can help you control your anger and help you love deeply. That's what he can do for you. The Holy Spirit also can help you live differently, where you're not controlled by fear or by sin, but you can actually live a life that pleases God. You don't have to give in to the same temptation all the time. You don't have to be stuck in this pattern where you're always doing the same things and you hate that about yourself. Always, always, you hate that you keep looking at the wrong things. You hate that you're going to the wrong places. You hate that you always turn to the drug or the alcohol or the things to numb your pain. You don't want to do that, but you feel stuck. If that's you, the Holy Spirit is for you. He will help you live differently. You can live like him. May it be the prayer of this church, God, make us holy because you are holy. We want to please you, Lord. We don't want to be perfect. There's no way. But we do want to please you, God. A verse that I've been saying every single day for the past few weeks is this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God. Let that be the people of Citizen Church. It doesn't happen on our own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his power. You need him to live differently. This is not about rules and regulations. This is about the love of the Father saying, you don't have to do this on your own. I am sending you a helper. I am sending you the one that's going to do this with you. I'm going to do this with you. You're not alone. You don't have to measure up to all the rules of the Bible. No, he's saying, I want you to live up to this, but I'm going to help you do it. I'm not going to leave you on your own. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He also gives us power to serve faithfully. We are filled to pour out. Serving is none of our nature. Like, who really likes to serve? Be real. None of us do. We're all, by nature, our sin nature, we're self-serving. But the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of Jesus, who would prefer his brother or his sister before himself. He would get down and wash the feet of his disciples. That is the spirit of Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? It's the spirit of Jesus. Do you want to serve more? Do you want to serve more? The Holy Spirit can equip you and help you to have a servant nature where you want to serve. And maybe you serve every single Sunday and you're a little exhausted by it. Man, I get that. There are early mornings on Sunday. Maybe you just want to sleep in on a Sunday for once, right? It's early Sunday mornings. And you're like, does anybody even see what I'm doing? And man, you're making more of an impact than you think. I just want to say that this church would not be what it is without amazing servant leaders and our serve team. They're incredible. I said this in the last service, but great churches are not built on great pastors or leaders. It's built on servant leaders, the people of the house, making this thing happen, serving. But that does not happen without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Next, the Holy Spirit gives us power to witness effectively. And I love that the gospel spread through these ordinary misfit guys and women. These average or even below average, uneducated men and women, some of them. And God used them to spread the gospel, and the church exploded. Isn't that encouraging? That you don't have to have this master's degree or doctorate. Thank goodness, because I don't. You don't have to have the certain status or money. The requirements are simple. Just go in the power of God, and He will help you witness effectively. Catch a vision for your life. Catch a vision for your life. What does God have for you? How does He want to use you? He wants to use you. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will give you power to bring heaven to earth, to actually live out the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let this church be that kind of church. We bring heaven to earth. That's what the power of God enables us to do. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how we are Christ's ambassadors. We are His representation on the earth. This church is the hands and feet. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We are His body. That is why we're called the body of Christ, because we represent Him here on earth. But we cannot effectively represent Jesus on this earth unless we are filled with what? With His Spirit, with His power. I can't look like Jesus on my own. I can't represent Jesus. I'm gonna look a whole lot like me unless I have the Spirit of Jesus within me, working and transforming me and guiding me. Let us be a church full of His Spirit. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Albuquerque as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody. In Albuquerque as it is in heaven. In Albuquerque as it is in heaven. And Albuquerque right now doesn't look a whole lot like heaven. So that's on us. That's on us to be His representation here. He wants to give you power. The people around you, they don't need you to be a half-hearted fake Christian, right? This city, this community, they need all of us to be full of His Spirit. Full of His Spirit. Not just plans or strategy or good ideas, but empowered by His Holy Spirit. Can we just go ahead and bow our heads this morning? I sense His presence here today. I don't know if you do, but I know He's here. And when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and He shows up. And today, I don't want to let a Sunday pass without giving you the opportunity to receive Christ. And I know that today, there are many people in this room where you have been, the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart. And so today could be your day, where you surrender everything to Him. This is your first step. Surrender everything to Him. Bring all of your past, your shame, your brokenness, all of it. You say, God, I'm done doing this my own way. I'm sick of trying all of this my own way. I need You. If that's you, I'm going to pray with you in just a minute. But we don't want to just lead you through a prayer and not give you resources. So after we pray, if you take a Connect card, you can fill that out, and we'll give you resources to actually live this out. But I want to pray with you today. If that's you and you want to accept Christ, on a count of three, would you just lift your hand today? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, say, I want You, Lord. I need You. I need a fresh start. I need a brand new start. I want You, God. That's great. You can go ahead and put your hand back down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but make these words your own, or pray your own prayer. And let's pray together. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for coming to earth and dying for me. Thank You, God, that You take my brokenness, You take my sin, my shame, my past, all of the mess that I've carried in here today, God. You take it all and You give us a fresh start. Thank You, Lord. So we surrender our lives to You. From this point on, God, we just say, let today change the rest of my days. Let today be one of those days that changes all of my days. I give it to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Amen. Amen. I don't want to just preach about the Holy Spirit, but not give you a moment to engage with the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to sing for just a moment. And we're gonna have our prayer team come down here at the front during this song. And if you have anything you need prayer for, if you need healing, anything at all, this is your time. But let's stand together. We're just gonna sing a couple of minutes, but would you just lift your hands in this place right now? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you here, God. We ask you to do what only you can do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's engage with him today.